What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have former Division I player and the founder and owner, CEO of Southern Coast Academy. Recently branched off from Southern California Academy. Man, my brother, my friend, Mr. Travis Nichols. My brother, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, man. Been a long time coming.
Yeah, been a very long time.
Welcome back to LA, man. I'm glad to have you here. You could fit us in your schedule to come and join us, man, and share your story and just the knowledge that you have about the game. So excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
Who? He Got Game.
He Got Game.
That's my jam right there. Like, it just gives me goosebumps every time I watch that movie because there's nothing like playing on the streets and, you know, proving something to everyone every time because they feel like, oh, you go to a school, you think you're all that. And now I'm just like you. I just want to make a better life, you know?
Yeah.
So I love watching Heat Out Game.
Yeah, man, that's a good point. I never recognized that he kind of had both. He had that street side, but then he was also on his way to, you know, whatever school he wanted to go to.
So he and, always
being able to do both.
Trying to take advantage of, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
No, that's a good one.
Now I'm going to watch it today just because.
And it's New York. It's so New York,
man.
Too.
Coney Island, man.
Yeah, man. All right, so when did you fall in love with basketball?
My childhood best friend. So you know my first love was football.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That's okay. Why every time when people see me, oh, you play football? No, I play basketball. Or I'm a golfer or something. I had to say that. But my best friend, dad, introduced me to basketball. And he was like, you ever tried? I was like, no. And then as the year go on, I started playing it more. And I thought, oh, this is actually easy. Mind you, I was soft as ice cream. But I liked the fact that I wasn't getting tackled on the floor. But anyway, we was playing tackle on concrete like idiots. But
what?
Yeah, that's why I got tough skin.
That's crazy.
But I realized I wasn't getting hurt every day. And I was like, oh, you know what, let me test it out. And I started playing it. And then my high school coach took me underneath his wing my eighth grade year. And he used to call me soft as ice cream every day.
That's where you get that from?
Yeah.
Because I've been hearing you saying that for years.
Hey, you fat pants. You just watch it dissolve. And said, that's you. And every day, man, he used to just get on my tail, but it was for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I remember that summer. Now my story just switched because I would say my best friend dad got me into it, but now I'm about to say someone that really got me into it, and it was Dash. Mm. That's why I call him my cousin, because we've been with each other for years. I remember we played one-on-one in the park, and I finally beat him one time. And my, I don't know him like that, and then I gave him his number, my number, and the next morning he called me like at 3 a.m. He said, yo, meet me at this place. I said, for what? He said, man, just meet me at this place so we can work, so we can get you soft behind better. I was like, all right. And ever since then.
Yeah. And what grade was this in?
That was my ninth grade year.
That's your ninth grade year?
Yeah.
Dang.
Ever since
so you had
then.
A coach who kind of took you under his wing and tried to make you tougher and get you in the gym, and then you had Dash working with you on the skills. So that was your first skills trainer. And you guys were working out together. He was still playing as well?
Yeah, he was still playing, but we always knew he was going to be a coach or something. Why do you think he's one of the best guys right now?
Yeah.
But he really had me fall in love because I believed him. He made me believe in myself that I could actually do it. Because I always thought I could be like a Charles Barkley in the game. He was like, man, you're not no Charles Barkley. See your thighs? His thighs is like 2 years put together. He said, man, you need to be a guard. And he transformed my whole game in 3 months.
Dang.
In 3 months, he transformed.
That's why you believe in development. That's why I believe in it, man. When you take somebody and you just lock in, you can change the way they play.
The biggest thing that a lot of kids don't want to make that sacrifice, not hanging out with your friends, disappointing people because you can't hang out with them, or not going on some of your family vacations. And I made a lot of sacrifice, man. And now, look, I never paid to go to school. everywhere I went, I never paid.
Man, so. That's dope. Talk about Park West, because I'm not familiar with the New York and what, you know, what that means. Is that a private school out there, or what is, how does that
it's
work?
A public school.
Okay.
They call it Food of Finance. Remember, that's what I used to always say.
They call it
what? I know how to cook. Food of Finance.
Oh.
They end up rebranding to Food of Finance for some reason, culinary school, whatever.
Okay.
But Park West was with Rommel Bradley. You know, he played at Kentucky and all that. Mm-hmm. So he was there. So I used to always watch them play.
Dope.
I was sitting behind them, freshman on the bench, just watching, not playing a freaking lick of minute. Justin Bright, he's from New York. He's a good trainer too right now in New York. So I used to always watch those guys. So Park West, yeah, it was tough around there too. During the times when the Dominicans versus black gang BS.
Wow.
So it wasn't easy just getting out of there.
Dang.
When school was over, it wasn't easy to go home.
So how did that environment impact you focusing on basketball?
I wanted to change my life. I didn't want to end up like them.
Yeah.
So that's what made me lock in. And Dash was always on my tail. So you're going to be the one to get out of here. You're going to get us out. And that's why I felt like I always held this like disappointment. But I think, me and Dash broke that disappointment when we both went to this men's retreat at church.
Yeah.
And I just broke down because I always thought I let him down because he was very invested in me. This dude used to be in the gym and make sure I hit 50 shots in a row before I go to the next spot. Like, he would rebound. He don't care if he stayed there all night.
50 in a row?
50 in a row. I'm dead serious.
I believe you. You got a strap.
Yeah,
that makes
sense. Dash used to be in the gym with me. He was very determined to get me to leave.
But y'all are there, though. You know what I mean? Like, y'all made it. Yeah, I know it's the, like, you can't be disappointed in you putting that effort in. Now look at the outcome, man. Yeah. Both of you guys are successful in your own businesses. And y'all came to Cali, you know, that on that crazy dream. And I'm going to let you tell you the rest of your story. But, yeah, we'll get into it more because there's so much more to that. So, man, y'all made it, man, to me. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't wait to talk about that part.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
so,
right.
So we're going to get through high school. When did you, you said you were sitting behind all those people your freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in 10th grade?
Nobody knew who I was.
Mm.
They thought I was a transfer coming in, but I'm like, no, I was the same freshman from last year. I remember my coach looked at me like that was weird. He was like, it's the same Travis? Maya, I never shot a three. I didn't start shooting threes when I got to college, believe it or not.
What?
So I was averaging like 30 and 16, this mid-range.
Is it your sophomore year?
Yeah, starting my sophomore
30
year.
30 and 16? No. I don't care about the three. You average 30, you're sophomore.
Yeah, high school was so, when you could shoot and you could play without the ball, the game is easy, man. I was a big guard. I could post you up. I could take you off the wing. I'm going to take you off screens. I'm going to run. I was like a mixture of, I remember my coach was like Rip Hamilton, Carmelo Anthony, and Amar'e Stoudemire. He was like, I was a mixture of those guys.
That's a crazy mixture. Those are three totally different people.
Rip Hamilton mid-range was automatic.
Right. And then run, being off the screens and all that. And Amar'e Duncan power and
rebounds out his behind.
Bucket.
Yeah. Mellow mismatch nightmare.
Man. And so now you put your name on the map.
Yeah.
All right. So what happens out there? Did you guys have, were you an AAU ball then? Or?
I played on Long Island Lightning. I was playing with Corey Fisher. That was the day, like Corey Fisher, Darius Leon.
Oh, yeah.
So I was behind that era, and that era made me tough.
Yeah.
Dude. I was a 15-year-old playing up. Dash always told me to never play down. So I never played my AAU age, like at all, ever.
Always played up.
Yeah, as soon as I went to Lightning, played the 17s.
Dang. And how tall were you then?
I was this height since the 7th grade.
What?
Yeah.
You never grew after the 7th grade?
Surprisingly, no.
Right. So did you always think you were going to get taller, too?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be like 6. I thought I was going to be like Amar'e Stoudemire. Because I had the attitude I did. Shoot.
Yeah.
But, nah. I always thought I was going to be taller, but oh well.
Dang. So, all right. So you averaged 30 your sophomore year. What happened your junior and senior year then? How do you get better?
Being a leader, that was my hardest thing, right? That was so hard. Being a leader was hard.
Yeah.
Being vocal, going against people that hated you. And yeah, that was tough. Those years was tough. To my last year, I remember we was in the semifinal game. And I was like, yo, why I'm not touching the ball? And then I remember 2 years after high school, I found out the whole team had a meeting behind me.
Whoa.
To make sure I wasn't the man.
Why?
It was weird, man. I remember I ain't get the ball. They freaking passed it to a freshman kid. Like,
why? Why in the semifinal? What did you do? Did you do something? Was your attitude bad? Was it that you were just getting too much attention? What do you think it was?
It's probably a mixture of everything. And I could probably say I was too nonchalant. But I was the fun, goofy guy. Like, I don't know. It was just weird. It was just weird times. But I still love that team. That was probably the best team you ever had.
Did y'all end up losing the semifinal game?
Yeah, we lost it in the buzzer. I missed it.
Dang.
And the team that won, we smacked them already. So I know.
But you wasn't getting the ball, so.
Not a lot of people to say you got a high school championship, right? Like,
right, right.
So that would have been dope to just say, yeah, I'm a champion.
Yeah, yeah. So how did recruiting start off for you? How did, you know, what was your journey like for college?
I ended up going D2 because of the SATs and the ACTs at the time. So some colleges was turned off by that. And when I got there, I signed with American International, AIC, out in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, man? I'm redshirt. Like, why? I worked this hard to go there?
Yeah.
No disrespect. And then I met an individual later down the road, and he just changed my whole life around. He got me into the All-American JUCO camp. I don't know how he got me in it, but anyway, I got
so
in it.
So you ended up at a junior camp? Out of D2, you went to a JUCO camp?
Yeah, I went to a JUCO camp. Yeah, he got me in.
Okay.
And then I signed with a D1 JUCO named Gulf Coast Community College in the Panhandle Conference, one of the toughest.
Yeah.
That team was crazy. It was 14 of us. All 14 of us went D1.
What?
So just imagine how practice was every single day.
What year was this?
This was, sure, I don't know. I graduated in, what, 08? I think the 09, 010, yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
Think so?
Yeah. Dang.
And, bro, dude, that practice was hard every freaking day. It was tough. I got my behind worked. I remember when I went to my room crying. I was like, dang, I got killed. I could have easily tucked my tail in and ran somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I got through it. And then I originally was going to, my first offer was Texas Tech out that JUCO camp. Because the individual that helped me got there, he went off on me because I stunk it up the first day. He said, I ain't bring you here to look like an average guy. And I went on averaging like 20. I was a walking double-double. So I got my first offer from Texas Tech. And then I ended up signing with Troy at the time. And then my mom was sick. So that's when I signed with St. Francis in Brooklyn.
Gotcha.
Because I was like, yo, I want her to see me play at least. So.
Yeah, so you had some bigger school offers. Yeah. You had Texas Tech. What others?
I had interest in Memphis. Marymount, there was a lot of schools.
Yeah.
Because everybody was just getting recruited.
Yeah. And so did your mom ask you to come and back home?
No, I did it on my own. Just, I know my mom. She would never tell me, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Because she was doing hospital visits after hospital visits, and she never told me why she was doing it. And I was like, all right, you're going to watch me play then. So I went to St. Francis, and St. Francis made me to who I am today.
Dope.
I can tell you that much, yeah.
Dope. So I have to go back to these junior college practices because I know a lot of what you did when you worked with me at CORE. You used some of those tactics. Let's talk about some of those things. Because I think people don't understand what junior college really does, especially a national level junior college and how much it can help you. What kind of stuff did you go through there? You said it was tough. What kind of stuff?
Remember I used to make the kids do the towels?
Yes.
The suicides with the towels? Oh, my gosh. Try doing that. seven times on my time limit. Or in a hot sun in Florida, you got the soccer field, you gotta run around the soccer field. And then after you run around twice, you gotta do lunges twice. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, this dude is nuts, man.
Man, those workouts created some monsters, though.
Oh, I already know. They used to hate me.
They still talk about it to this day. Just, oh my gosh, ask any of them, man. Those are like the sky dusty bed years. Coach Travis was crazy. Used to make us do this crazy stuff. Nice. But man, look at y'all now, man. Y'all tougher than you would have been for sure.
So. That part, yeah.
So going back home to St. Francis, you know, your goal was to make it out, right, and all that. Going back home, what was that feeling like? And like you said, but it changed who you were going to that school. So talk about that.
It was more of the adversity I had to go through. You know how some kids right now are always blaming the coach about this and that, like, I'm transferring because he don't like me. And it's funny how I see that now, and I was like, dang, I used to be that kid. Mm. And I realized I made that insecure battle between me and my coach when I was the one that actually was in charge. Mm. I can't dictate how he's gonna treat me every game. I don't care that I'm not his recruit. I don't care that I'm not kissing his behind like most people do so they get more minutes. Like, I can't control how he reacts to me every day, but I realized the way he was tough on me was for a reason. I remember that man came to my projects out in Canarsie, the only white man in the freaking parking lot, sat on top of his car with my scholarship contract. I thought he was nuts. Hey, I thought that coach was nuts, man. Oh, man. And he like, I want you to be the leader story, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when I got there, I was just too nonchalant because I thought the game was too easy for me. Mm. And he hated that. Oh, my gosh, he hated that. He was on my tail every single day.
Did he change? Did he help you improve your work ethic?
After I graduated college.
Mm.
So just mind you, look how many years I messed up for myself. When everybody thought I should have probably got drafted in the junior year of college because I was killing. Hmm. I ain't a lie. I remember I came to Cali and I just disappeared from everybody for the whole summer. I came to Cali, got my body right, got my mind right. I went back in shape. I used to be fat. I came back in shape. That coach thought I was on HGH or something.
This is your going into your junior year?
Yeah. He just thought I was freaking, like, what you took? And now I'm just focused. Steve Campbell.
Yeah, Steve Campbell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
came out here for a summer.
And went back, chilled. I mean, I game against Seton Hall. Man. Went killed on. Him.
We should YouTube it?
Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, no.
It was like 27-17. Ooh, you lost in
my
overtime.
God.
I ain't scored all my buckets until the second half because my coach yoked me up and said, yo, or you'll be Travis or what? Hmm. And I was like, hey, you don't motivate me. And I should have just motivated myself.
There's probably the third time talking where someone had to like get into you for you to wake up mm-hmm. and be yourself. Why is that?
Just not being strong mentally on my own. And that's why I always try to help these kids like be prepared because I know what I had to go through. Mm. And in this generation, these coaches don't have patience for that no more.
Yeah.
So those coaches back in the days, they had the patience.
Right.
So, but now this era, they don't. So I'm trying to help these kids not make the mistakes I made, you know.
Usually when somebody works so hard, they have ultimate confidence in their craft.
Yeah.
And they do have that mental toughness because you in the gym and you mm-hmm. came from a tough environment. What was it that made you nonchalant though? Like what, I'm trying to find that thing, like if a kid is struggling, what you were truly struggling with at that time to have, hey, I'm putting this work in, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I'm still lacking that trigger. what's that trigger that we can speak to?
Because you know how when you put all that work in, when you put in real work, like how I was in the gym every day with Dash and stuff, the game become easy. So I don't sweat. Like I'm like, this is a walk in the park. Like, I don't care. But
so it was like almost cocky.
Yeah, I was cocky as hell. Right.
You still play that way though. And it's good now because you have the work ethic to match it.
Yeah, I have a lot more wisdom.
Yeah.
At that time, I didn't understand how to make it a balance. The environment I was in, like you can't do that with a college coach, man. I don't care who you are. But now they probably can because the NIL deals is, you know, some of these kids getting paid more than the coaches, man.
Yeah, they do. It is wild. Absolutely wild. That was
the reason why I was not showing up, because I worked so hard that whatever I was in, it was too easy for me, because my trainer, my coach, my cousin, put me through worse situation than this. So I was just like, oh, this don't faze me.
Just keep on pushing.
Yep.
Dang. So going into your senior year now, right? Junior year, you have a coming out year, play well. Should think about going to the draft. Did you like test the waters
No.
or anything? Okay. So you stayed your senior year?
Yeah.
All right. And what was that? What was your senior year like?
The senior year is the one that built me. Because I went through the most adversity you could ever think of.
Talk about it.
Again, being nonchalant. Coach sat my behind down for a few days. Didn't start me no more. I was a six man. But it didn't matter. You could play me 10 minutes. I was coming out double digits or whatever. But I was being nonchalant about it. And I was like, I don't care, whatever. You put me in the game. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to make you look bad. And I hate that was my motive with that coach.
Yeah.
And when I graduated and realized I didn't go pro because I was so weak mentally. Because now you're going against grown men that has a lot more wisdom than you. This little stuff don't faze them, and it was fazing me. And I started like breaking down. It got to the point where I got sick for like 3 months.
Dang.
And I wanted to just cut off. And you watch me work every day at the college.
This is where I know you. So this is where I can really ask some questions here.
So I just, I went through a lot of adversity. I couldn't understand why I wasn't getting treated the way I was getting treated until after college. I realized, like, dang, I'm so immature. Like, look at what I could have. I could have made my college career so much better if I would have just followed the script.
Yeah.
And I didn't follow the script. I remember apologizing to my coach, too.
I remember. I was there.
Oh, yeah, you was there. You were there when I recorded the whole video. Yeah. To this day, he talks about that. Now he's at Fairleigh Dickinson, I think so.
So yeah. Talk about that though, when you apologize, because you had this like aha moment, right? This is like 2 years after you're done playing. That's when we started working at CORE together, and you were like, man, I think I'm gonna call my coach. And I was like, oh, dope. And he was like, but I want people to see it, because you knew what it meant for people like you. Like, you know, in that situation where, dang, this coach was tripping, but it was really me. Talk about that moment and what you said to your coach. Don't cry on the show, Travis. And what you said to your coach.
Can you watch
and
to
what,
cry.
What it meant.
The only reason why I did it, too, because being around CORE and, like, being around CORE introduced me to so many people. At the time was Pastor Kelvin, and my wife was bringing me closer to God to see things different. Yeah. So it changed my heart and heart. And after I started self-reflecting, that's when I realized, like, I was being honest with myself. And I was like, oh, shoot, I was pointing fingers at him because I was messing up. And that's when I made a decision that next day. It was like, yo, I'm gonna make a video, apologize to my coach. And when I did it, I remember the enemy was trying to bring me back to that. It's like, nah, he's the one that made you not go pro. And blah. I remember the enemy was tear me apart. He was tearing me apart that day, I remember. And I almost didn't continue making the video to apologize to him. And I was like, no. I'm okay. It's like, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, it was me. It wasn't him.
And how did he respond when you made the apology?
He couldn't believe it. I was the last person to ever, he ever thought I was going to apologize or anything.
Yeah.
Because I was such a jerk after college. Like,
it's the power of God, though.
And I feel like he just did certain things to get me going. He knows how to get me going. Because when he gave me that garbage man application, when I graduated, I feel like he, to this day, I make fun of it, but it was just like here you go. You should take this garbage man application. You're making some good money. And I knew that was that's what triggered me. I lost weight. That's when I finally lost weight. Mm. And I got down to a solid 205. But I went through adversity for 2 years straight.
Yeah.
And that's when Todd came in the picture.
Now talk about that. So you moved to California. You signed with an agent. Let's talk about it, man, because people get fooled. You don't have to say no names if you don't want to, or you can.
Yeah, I'm not going to say no names.
Or you can, because they still around these streets.
They probably follow your page, too.
Huh? Good. So they need to hear about themselves and what not to do, man, because that's what this is about, is kids getting the wrong information.
Yeah.
And so you signed with an agent who was kind of a startup agent.
Yeah.
And promised you opportunities. Mm-hmm. And what really happened?
Scam.
I basically
fell for the guys. They made me believe that they could change my life around and finally help me make it pro. But then I finally realized they were just taking money from people and spending on their own. And they were just having me doing circles.
So they made you pay them?
Nah, I ain't paid nothing.
Okay.
They took money from investors.
They were taking money from investors saying that they had these pros.
We used to go out. I ain't paid for nothing.
Dang.
The trainer was awesome. So.
Yeah, Dash, right?
Yeah.
Steve with the strength and conditioning. Man, shout out Steve, man. Steve's an OG in this game, man. Trained a lot of dudes back in the day, man. OG in the game. But, so you were here, and I'm trying to let you tell the story because it's better coming from your mouth. Like, so all that happened, and so no real pro opportunities came out of it, right?
Nah. I remember Impact helped me go to Mexico.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what made me realize even going overseas ain't easy, man.
Yeah.
I'm averaging freaking 25 and 14. They told me that's not enough. I'm sending you back home. And that's when you came in. They're like, yo, I'm about to start this program. I see what you're going through, and you'll be a great role model for the kids that will be in our program, et cetera. So I was like, hey, let's do it. I know how to train.
Yeah. Now, I remember the day we were sitting in the cafe.
Yeah.
And it was actually you and Dad. Oh, no, it was just you.
No, it was just me.
It was just you. And you were like, yo, man, I want to train. I was like, there's two ways we could do this. I said, I can show you how to start your own business, or you could just rock with me, and we'll just grow it. And you're like, no, I'm just working with you. And man, it was literally, man, it was a turning point in my life, because at the time I had a lot of kids and not enough time.
Yeah, I remember you was getting mad, cutting me those 2K checks a week.
Man, what? You was like, I was, yo. So I probably had 50 clients at the time. And I was like, all right, Trav, I got you, man. Take these 20, something like that. And so, man, we started training. And I'm like, our system back in the day, you know, we were on Venmo, Cash App, something like that, right?
Venmo.
It was Venmo, still Venmo. Okay, we was on Venmo. And Trav used to send me his weekly pay based off of the agreement we made. I'm like, damn, that's a lot of money.
You skip it though.
Oh, what happened? Go ahead.
You used Fill to me tell in. Me, because I started making like 300 a week, and he's like, no, I used to make this, and I can't wait for you to touch that. And it was like 2,500 a week or whatever. It's like, you're gonna get there one day, but I got there faster than you thought.
Way faster. Like we started, I think he started it, because this is before CORE.
Yeah.
It was right before CORE started. Yeah, so it's probably like January, February of that year. And by the summer, both of us was making, so I'm gonna tell you again, both of us was making like 12K a month. Yeah. Easy on the training. Oh man.
Mind you, that wasn't even him training people like that.
Right. It was crazy. This man, like, he just brought a whole different, I think, just a different mindset to what we were doing. You know, I was doing the stuff my college coach, I didn't even have a system then. Like, I was just doing what I learned in college. And Trav was doing what Dash did with him pretty much, just like putting him through the ringer and the cardio and the toughness part of it, man. And it came together and it was like, it was magic, man. We used to train literally from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah, I know.
Every day.
My wife used to get mad.
Man.
Monday to Sunday.
Man, she wasn't mad at the money he was bringing in, but yeah.
It helped. Trying to start a family, yeah. She
yeah,
was no, mad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to cut out Sundays and then I had to cut out the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and at one point, man, I want to bring this up because it speaks to this show grind, man, that you were homeless out here.
Yeah. Yep. So was. Damn, you brought that back. Wow.
No, because it's the people don't understand the grind part, man. They think that
wow.
they see, oh, this dude was about to go pro. He was training, and then he became a trainer. Nah.
Hey, Ty, you just brought that back, bro.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, talk about it. You said I could ask anything, so I had
yeah,
to.
You did, but wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Wasn't for too long, right? A few months. But once again, the favor of God, right? People start helping you out. People start helping you out. So, and it was through training, right, that you got back on your feet. And so, anything to say on that?
Dang, I forgot about that, dude. Me and Dash was homeless.
Yep.
That is, it's funny how God to make you like realize how you're not alone, like everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, dang, what's next? No?
Yeah. But remembering where you came from, he's brought you a mighty long way. And it shows your toughness, man. And I've always admired you for it, man. Like, you didn't lay down. You know, you didn't lay down when you were down. You literally were like, nah.
I almost ran back to my comfort zone.
Yeah. But look where it brought you, man. So, nah, man. Just wanna give people hope that are at the bottom. You know. At a place where they don't feel like they have anything, and your work and your faith in God, man, could take you so long, take you so far. So during this time, Travis was the most blessed, favorable, luckiest man in the world. The things that started happening after that were like, bro, why do you have this? Because anything he said was happening. Remember that?
Yep.
I used to get on my nerves about that.
I remember you and Kobe said always.
Used to get on my nerves, man. Like anything he said, Karina has the same thing. She does that too. Oh, anything yeah. Anything she says has been happening like in way faster time than you would think. So just talk about how transitioning into being a trainer, full-time trainer, and CORE. We can even start talking about how, you know, our relationship and how that developed over time. And what, you know, I think people thought we hated each other for a moment when you started SCA. And what we were built on was way, way stronger than some business stuff. And yeah, so, you know, what was your mindset during that time, just the first years of CORE?
The first year of CORE?
The first year of CORE, yep.
Just how it was a blessing just to help these kids not make the mistakes I made.
Yeah.
So that was the whole motivator for over those past, what, 5 years?
Maybe? Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, 5 years.
That's 5 years.
Yeah. 5 years. Yep. So that was the biggest thing with CORE. Like, I just wanted to really help these kids not make the mistakes I made and not be mentally weak like how I was at the time. Because as the world kept going on, things started changing.
Yeah.
And as a man, they don't care about your emotions. Like what Karan told me, it's a cold-hearted game to be successful in it.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn about your emotions.
Right.
So you just gotta accept adversity with open arms. Let's take it like it is.
Yeah.
And being around CORE and you and the people you introduced me to, it helped me trust in God. And I'm laughing in my head right now because I'm in that phase where I need to trust God more again. So it's funny how you brought back, he used you to bring back when I was homeless.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's good, man. That's what it's about.
And the whole relationship with me and you, that was me letting the enemy get in my head to look at you as my enemy. And I remember I called and told you,
yeah.
I apologize for just being so, ignorant and arrogant towards you. And you helped me. You helped me with the platform I have right now. I remember you was in my backyard. You came up with SCA. Believe it or not, Todd came up with SCA. Him and Paul Tate was in my backyard because I had a plan. Now that I'm thinking about it, this plan actually still worked. But we could do it for next year. I don't want to do it for this year after the closing of Southern California and rebranding to Southern Coast. We can actually
talk about that off camera. We want to get to this story. No, hey.
But yeah.
Always. Yeah.
I learned a lot and I had to grow up again.
Yeah. No, and I want to give context to what you're saying because I think it's important. So Travis helped me build CORE. Like literally was there from day one when I couldn't be there. Matter of fact, he was just there all the time. Like Travis was there all the time. I was still coaching high school, so I would have to leave early and Travis was just in charge. And so he brought something that I didn't have and I had something that he didn't have. And we learned from each other. He taught me a different level of training and just the mental toughness aspect. And at the same time, Travis was learning business from me from the distance. Like I literally would like, yo, Travis, come to this meeting with me.
Yeah,
sometimes you say yes, sometimes you say no, but ultimately he started learning that. And we were in the backyard. And he started talking about he wanted to do what we were doing for CORE on the high school level. And so that's where we're like, man, I was like, call it Southern California Academy. Like, that's super simple, love it, blah, blah, blah. And Travis started building his business and SCA while still working with me at CORE. But he came to me and said, hey, I want to do this under CORE. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, can we do this? He was like, I want to do it more homeschool style. And, you know, I was like, nope. I was like, man, go out on your own, do your business. But I offered him, I was like, man, I told him, I said, I'll never let what God has built between us, our relationship that we built through God, to come in this business stuff. We're in the cafe again. Man, that cafe is special.
Yeah, that cafe is special.
Yeah, we're in that cafe at 360 Health Club. And I just told him, I was like, man, I'm gonna just make sure you have everything to operate this thing the right way. And Travis probably went through the second craziest summer of his life, getting SCA together.
Oh and, my gosh. Everybody was throwing my name around that time.
Man.
Oh yeah, Travis, come in here. Travis, come in here. What are you talking about? I ain't going nowhere.
Man, people didn't understand that me and him talked. And so they would say all these things that Travis was saying, and they would say things that, well, they said that, or they would say that we were saying, and we were still talking to friends, like, okay, that's what's up. Just like kind of laugh at people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And right before school started, he called me and was like, I get it now. Because he had a mentor to hold for himself, understanding not just training basketball, but running a business, I think. And so talk about that start of SEA, your first years at SEA, and then how it grew into, you know, what it is now.
In the beginning, it was not easy to know. A lot of people didn't understand this homeschool version of it. You remember when we started out homeschool, but then people were like, nah, I want to be more involved, interact with other kids. Yep. And then boom, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like, dang, here we go. Adversity kicking in. So being around time, my mind started opening. Like I opened up and started being more creative. I said, you know what? Let me, if that's the case, this is COVID, let me just go into high school. Mm-hmm. And then I had an individual named Julius that everybody knows, reached out to me and he was like, yo, I saw that you're doing high school. I want to help build it. And, all right, cool. You can help build it. He said, yo, I just want to be the national coach. And we just took off faster than I thought. Way faster than I thought. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We took off way faster than I thought. But before you know it, COVID, after the following year after COVID, it was still cool, but I knew something was going to take a turn. I just didn't react to it as fast because I thought we would just still figure out, because I have that mentality, I'm not going to tuck my tail in.
Yeah.
But to everybody else, we made it look easy to do it out here. But I'm just letting you know now, it was not easy. From being the owner of it and running it, it was not easy. And that's why we branched out to Florida and rebranded, because it was a lot feasible to do what we were doing here. Like we would travel from here across everywhere.
Yeah.
And now I'm in Florida, I'm near all those states now.
Right.
So my travel expenses just went all the way down.
So it became a business thing, because I think you guys did have a level of success.
Yeah.
As far as the goal of a school is to get kids to college.
College, yeah.
And so what made you guys good at that?
Just the relationship. Like you'd be surprised how a lot of people say they have contacts. Yeah, you got contacts, what else?
Right.
So Julius, he started that whole pipeline. So he put people in a position like myself to have resources like that, because he had the contacts to get any coach in the country to come in. And, you know, someone like me was smart enough to say, all right, I'm going to build my relationship too. He gave us the platform, why not? That's what made it easier for us to help kids actually get that scholarship opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
But to some people, like, they think, let's say it was like a blessing and a curse at the same time, believe it or not. Like, every time people hear the word, say, oh, I'm about to get a scholarship if I go there. No, it's not that simple.
Right.
When you come here, you got to stick to the script. Mm. Remember, I spoke about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, stick to the script and work hard every single day. And understand things not going to go your way. It is what it is. But just stick to the script.
What's the script? Let's talk about the script, because I think that's important. Yes, talk about the script.
You're not going to start every day. Days going to be harder than most, and you can't complain. You can't tuck your tail in. Don't run into your mom, trying to make us look like the bad guy when we're really not. Tell your parents the truth. Tell them what you're really going through, and not putting on us like we the bad guys. Like, it's three sides to a story. Like, like, stick to the script. We told you, come here, work hard, and use the platform that we provided. Because we can help you, but you got to help yourself as well. Like, you got to, it's like a car salesman. You got to have something for us to sell. So if you stick to the script and work hard and take all the tools that we're teaching you while we're developing you, guess what? You can go get that scholarship now.
Yeah.
When we bring them through those doors, you go get that scholarship.
Yeah.
So that's the script.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised a lot of people can't stick to it, because when times get hard, we're like, oh, they're not starting, or we bring another recruit in and they start getting, oh, no, you got somebody else. that's better than me. Why? Who cares? All right, if he's better than you, all right, be his best friend. Go be in the gym with him. Use the platform he about to provide for us. Genius. So when we put you in the game, work your tail off, and guess what? You might have something that a college coach probably want in their program.
Yep.
But they're not thinking that way. They just think, oh, you brought somebody in that's better than me. I'm not coming in.
How am I going to get seen?
Yeah, how am I going to get seen? I'm transferring.
But see, that goes back to you going to a junior college with 14 players going to Division One. You've seen it in action.
I've seen it, dude. Yeah, I could have easily just ran away from that situation.
Right.
But I was like, nah. If these guys, in my mind, the mindset Dash taught me, like, don't run away from that crap. If they getting recruited by all the colleges, that means you don't get recruited by all the colleges. Just do what you have to do. And that's what I did. And I think that's what a lot of kids are missing. They need to stop trying to be the man of the team. Think about that. If you're the only man on the team, who the heck is pushing you in practice?
Yeah.
Who are you going against that's going to push you every day? Better yet, how many D1 kids is on your team? If you're the only person that's raising their hand, that's a problem. And I feel like I'm not trying to get a lot of parents mad by saying this, but some of these parents need to stop being so insecure. Like, let your kid go on a team like that. Because we lost out on a lot of kids throughout the years because of that situation. So they saw all the guys that Julius was recruiting, they was getting a little butthurt. And they was like, I'm not going to go there. He got this person. How am I going to be seen? You're going to get seen. You're going against this guy every day in practice. Guess what? That means you're a bit better.
Right. And you got 40, 50 coaches in practice.
In the gym, coming, watching you. Like, I'm like, dude, like, what's wrong with you? But I use those guys. I'm like, hey, they coming in. I just got to do what I do. That's what I'm going to get seen too. And that's what happened.
Absolutely.
Nobody on our team averaged 20. Because everybody always had a 20-point game. I had a few. This guy had a few. The third guy on the bench had a few. Like, it was,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so how are you transitioning that? What's the difference now at Southern Coast Academy, like, besides being in a place where you can operate from a business standpoint on a different level? The things that you've learned the last, 5 years you had SEA? Mm-hmm. The last 5 years, what have you learned that you're taking to the next, this next phase with Southern Cokes, and enhancing it?
Just make it more calculated risk, because now I'm working on building our own campus. So it's just that risk taking part is the tough part, you know, because I never asked for help as No, I have to say I did ask for help, but I never asked for an investment to where, let me not worry about bringing in so much tuition money so I could really help out all these kids. And now I had to be very fragile towards that a little bit, because I used to be that kid that always wanted this opportunity. So I can't just be so stern and say, no, I'm sorry, no, can't help you.
Yeah.
And it sucks, so that's why I created another nonprofit organization. I'm not going to disclose it yet because I'm just waiting. But it's going to be a nonprofit to where I just stop saying no.
So you can actually help.
Yeah, actually help kids that really need this platform, because I know the platform that we can provide.
Yeah.
And now we have an ex-NBA player named Chucky Atkins as the high school coach. No. You have an assistant coach from Georgetown, Clinton Crouch. So now our platform is going to be bigger than what I thought I was going to have in my second year. So I want to still bring in guys that need this shot, because everybody can't afford a $80,000 tuition like an IMG or Mount Verde or something like that. But they're probably talented as heck.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, man, I'm proud of you, man, just from your growth from the day you called me before SEA officially started your first year. I don't know if you remember that conversation, but you were stressed.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure stuff out, to where you're at today, where I actually call you for advice sometimes.
I was shocked that you was doing that.
But, man, you did it, man. You took what we had at core and made it made it, like, our purpose is to get these kids to college. I'm here at the middle school level. I'm always staying in my lane. And you just made an extension of that. But like you said, it grew bigger than what you expected and had the bigger impact than anyone could believe here in Southern California for the time that you were here in Southern California. For those 5 years, man, you, what, 60 kids, something crazy like you put on? Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It is. It really helped some of the Southern California kids, some of the kids who were in core. You know what I mean? So it was an extension of that. And now you're being even more impactful. And it's like, just because you're in Florida doesn't mean you ain't going to help kids from Southern California. Right?
Right.
That's the goal, is to be a pipeline for the kids, for the places that you've impacted in your life. And so, man, I applaud you, man. I'm proud of you, bro. I haven't told you before. I do want to talk about, really quick, two relationships. You've had many people who helped you, but there's two specifically that I know were a big impact just on you maturing and growing up, is Keon and Karan, man. Those two dudes took you in their arms, man. So just talk about those two relationships.
I would have never met Karan if it wasn't for Keon.
Okay.
Keon, just during my training, Keon, he's not a fan of New Yorkers. So as I was in that hooping phase, I remember on the Drew League team, my boy, you know, the agent, whatever, introducing to Keon, and Keon, he purposely started me because he thought I was gonna poop the bed, basically. He thought I was gonna be a New Yorker coming on to the West Coast, thinking he all that, and get his behind bus. Yeah, that story flipped on him. Yeah, he was like, yo, this dude like a walking double-double. I don't have to run no plays for him, no nothing. I want 10 of Travis's. He used to always preach that. I want 10 of Travis's. I'll win every game. But he saw that I still had a training business, and he gave me my first pro. And at the time, Teron was thinking about coming off retirement. And Keon, he introduced me to some business people to help me navigate through SEA at the time, because my immature behind didn't want to come to you at that time to really know more stuff about the business side, because I was just being insecure and ignorant and looking at you as the enemy at the time. So Keon used to help me with that part, and he was a huge blessing. I'm not gonna lie, he was a huge blessing. That's why I won't hesitate to take my shirt off for him if he need one. Just like I know to this day, he'll do the same for me. So,
yeah.
With Karan, that dude, man, he taught me a lot.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have met him during my hooping phase, though.
Right.
The mindset he helped me have to this day, it would have helped me a lot during my hooping days. And he's the one that pushed me to go with SCA, because he know the whole thing was to be the ING of the West Coast.
Yeah.
But business wise, he know. He knew I wasn't gonna really do it here, so he was like, "Dude, it's just not feasible to do it the way you want to do it here. But you're gonna have a nice run." He always told me that, "I'm gonna have a nice run." Hmm. And it's funny how now I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
He's in Florida too.
Yep.
But he just built up that toughness, man. He's the one that helped me understand the person that's in front of me, body. Like if I'm training another pro, I remember Teron used to freaking wake me up at 3 a.m. to go train him at 4. So the schedule was crazy. We trained at 4. We did. We had to do shooting or whatever. Then on certain days, we trained at 5, but we would go to heated cycling at Rock. Like Rise Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hot though.
Yeah.
Or we go to heated cycling.
I know, you kept on trying to get me to go. I was like, nah, yeah, I ain't training. That's wild.
So we would do that, and then we would go to Shot Zone. Remember Shot Zone?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where we made our money.
I know, right? Yeah. It was clean as shop. But anyway, we go there around 8, and then we would do shooting only. Then we would go do mountain climbing, mountain cycling. Like, we were riding, I broke his mountain bike too, but we were riding mountain bikes through the mountains or whatever in Calabasas. Take a break, eat, go back to heater cycling, take a break, come back at 6, do some skills work. And we did everything from Monday to Saturday. Then on Sunday, we just do straight shooting only, card, like more conditioning shooting for like 2 hours.
That's crazy.
And then on nights, he'd have us go out. I'm like, why are we doing that? I mean, I know we gotta wake up. I remember we went to Vegas too. He purposely was doing this to me. Had me go with him to Vegas, took a private jet, whatever, go to Vegas, hung out, whatever. Mind you, not drinking or nothing, just hung out. So I know he used to do things on purpose to prepare me. And I'm like, why are we here? Like,
showing you life of a pro and how to train a pro.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
So then I remember the next day, he said, yo, we about to get back on the jet. We got training at 5, though. Mine is like 2 in the morning. I'm like, 5? So why you dropping me off home? Why I just stay with you? Nah, don't meet me at 5. And then I was about to kill him. He said, yo, what are you doing? We just went out and stuff. So you just want me to get injured? He's like, so you're not trying to understand my body or nothing? You was with me. And he was just trying to show me, like, just know, just because you're not with him, just understand, ask questions. Hey, what you did the night before? So I can understand that individual's body so I won't kill him. Because as a young trainer myself, I just want to kill you, make you feel like you work.
Yes.
You know, at that time,
I don't know if y'all, I mean, he's probably different now. Travis's training sessions were.
Yeah, I was a nut. But.
Absolutely crazy. So. That's dope, man, because I think those were just key relationships to grow. And probably your most important relationship with your wife and that impact, man. So, you know, if you want to speak a little bit to her and
my wife
and the boys, like, because I think this is the growth of you, right?
Yeah.
And I want people to see how it started when God came into your life. And then God put people in your life to get you to where you're at. And, you know.
I remember my wife used to sneak money in my backpack. Because she knew I had no money. And then all of a sudden the tables turned and created a life to where she don't have to work as much. And she really helped me get closer to God, too.
Yeah.
Like, she really pushed me. Because that was her desire. And I'm still struggling. I'm not perfect.
Right.
I'm not a perfect guy. I don't think I'm a perfect guy. I'm still, with this God journey, you're learning every day. It's never over.
Yeah.
Sorry to bust your bubbles, but this whole God journey is
never
over.
You don't find them and everything goes perfect.
No, it's a continuous journey. You're going to, if you ask for patience, he's going to create things for you to work on your patience.
Yeah.
He ain't just gonna make you just disappear. Nah, he gonna build you up to get there.
Yeah.
So that's what you pray for. So be careful what you pray for, because he's gonna allow you to go through things so that you can get what you ask for. He's gonna build you up to get there. So you ask for wisdom, all right, he'll create situations to where you gotta learn wisdom. Right? It's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going through it now. Like Todd just brought up the whole homeless. I forgot about that.
I can't believe you forgot about that. That's crazy. I think it's such a pivotal part in your story, man.
Because so. Life happens, man. You get blinded.
Right.
All
right, man. Thank you, man, for sharing some of your story. Because there's so much more. Like,
oh, yeah. We could go on.
There's so much more. But
we wanted to.
I wanted people to see, like you said, man, this is, you don't do stuff like this, man. So I
don't.
Appreciate.
I hate the camera.
I appreciate it. But people need to know, because there's people in your shoes. There's people who are going to be in your shoes who need to know how to dig themselves out of something, how to use, how to not waste their talent and be nonchalant. I mean, there's so many key life skills in your story that you shared today that are that's like, it's your testimony, man. And so now it's on camera, so I'm gonna share it all the time. It's gonna be posted on YouTube, and it's gonna help people forever, man. So
I just noticed that. Yeah, you are gonna do it. You're purposely doing it too.
There we go. We're gonna move to our next segment, man. My Rushmore. Okay. So it's gonna be your top 4 TV shows of all time. Top 4 TV shows.
Well, I gotta answer first. What's your top 2?
My top two? Well, because you the guest. Right, you want me to tell my top two are easy, though?
I already know one of them. Yeah. You can't say that one. You have to say something different.
Why? It's my top four. you the one
that... I tried to flip it.
No. I'm not going... I'm not...
Believe it or not, I don't... Since my early age, I work. I don't have a TV show. That's why when people used to talk about it, I used to go, oh, I don't know. And remember, you used to look at me weird, like, you never watched that movie? I'm like, bro, I was trying to get a scholarship.
I'm trying to get a scholarship. I love that.
I wasn't able to watch TV.
All right, what about now, though? I know you got shows you watch with your wife, at least.
It's even worse now.
Oh, gosh.
I know it sucks. I'm sorry.
Inside the NBA, like, something?
It's even worse now.
So you don't even have four TV shows?
I can tell you it's a YouTube show.
Okay, bet.
Good Good Golf.
Okay.
I love Good Good Golf, man. I can't wait to run into them on the golf course. No, I'm a golfer now. But I can't wait to run into them. I would love to be on their show.
All right. I don't even know what it's about. I'm going to check it out.
I hope you tag them and they see this so all they right. can reach out.
Karina.
There that would be dope. Play on Good Good Golf.
Okay.
Even Bob Does Sports, too. They hilarious.
Bob Does Sports. All right. Hilarious. What else?
Those are two main ones. Like,
you don't have anything else you grew up on a little bit?
What I grew up on was to make sure I go to school for free because my parents could afford it.
Dang, that's great. So you didn't watch TV?
Okay, The Rugrats.
Okay, bet. Thank you. That's a great show. I was watching this yesterday with the kids, trying to put them on. It. They did not like it.
Rugrats. I used to watch The Rugrats a lot.
Then did you watch Doug?
Nah.
All right, I need one more to round out the mountain. Your top four. Basketball in general? Nothing? All right, whatever, try.
Hold on, I'm trying to think. Hold on, I know I doubt. I can give you one more. TV show. Oh, okay, nope. I have a TV show I watch with my wife. Even though I never finish it, but I never finished the whole show, okay. But This Is Us.
Okay, bet. There we go.
Yeah, This Is Us. So that, This Was Us was cool.
All
right. I think it gets you emotional, man. You ever watch that show?
No, I won't, because I'm not trying to be that emotional. Somebody already told me. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't. I already watched other stuff.
I'm sorry, Ty. I'm putting you on blast. You know you're emotional, man.
My grandpa was actually on that show, on an episode of that show.
Which one?
Season 6, episode 8, I believe.
And you don't want to watch the show?
I watched this episode. No, I'm sorry. I watched his part in the episode. I
love it. Oh, see, it gets you, right?
Yeah, see,
it gets me water up.
I'm good. All right, so my four, because you on some old deep emotional stuff. Fresh Prince, of course. Still, everybody know that. Emotional. That's number one. And the other ones are actually going to surprise people, I think. The Game, the TV show The Game.
What's that?
Oh, man, you don't know The Game? It's with with Pooch Hall, Derwin Davis. And then he's a football player. The Sabres, they're... Yeah, and
is this kid in core?
Yeah, Jordan. Jordan's
possible. But I never watched it. Never watched it, but
nah, it's awesome show, man. I was literally watching it last night.
Great dude too.
Pooch is awesome. Fresh Prince, The Game. I'm gonna have to go with Power. I cannot stop watching that show, man.
You know what? I watched Power. I just never finished it.
What season are you on?
No, I'm done. I just don't. It's still doing.
There's 6 seasons of Power. And now they have spinoffs. There's 3 spinoffs.
After the
Kanan
the
has his own series about when he was
Ghost,
a kid.
I start watching.
Yeah, Ghost Son is like the new Ghost, and his actually it's the last season of this one. His 4 seasons. Oh my God, I ain't about to do this with you. Okay, it's Power, and then my last one.
Power is crazy.
Yeah, man, it might be Grey's Anatomy.
What's that dude name?
That makes me emotional too. What?
Who? Who's the crazy white boy?
Tommy.
Tommy crazy.
Yeah, no, Tommy Wild.
He nuts.
Tommy Wild. Tommy has his own show now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, man, you need to get back into the Power universe. Those are my four. Fresh Prince is just classic. And The Game is just, I like their comedy. And Power is, I don't know, man, I'm a Grand Theft Auto fan. I feel like a Grand Theft Auto on TV, the video game, which you probably don't play video games either. Man, you better make sure your boys watch TV and play video games, bro.
No, video games, it's always brainwashing these kids? No.
It's fun, they didn't brainwash me. I don't play games like that, but
no.
I'm, I'm buying them a video game system for Christmas.
You better not. I give it for charity. I give it away. I think I'm joking.
All right, man. Our next segment is called Fix the Net. A misconception about Travis that you want to make straight.
People still think I'm running Southern California Academy out here. I'm just letting you know that chapter is done. There's nothing between Julius and I. He branching out on his own. I don't know what he calling it. SoCal something.
SoCal Academy,
mm-hmm. or whatever. There's no Southern California Academy. And there was no, how can I say it? I didn't do it out of spite or anything like that, because I know people think, oh, he moved to Florida, he think that's, no, it just, I just had to make a business decision. I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah.
The new name is Southern Coast Academy. And the reason why I call it Southern Coast, because the whole vision is to franchise it in different states and countries. And awesome. So there's no beef. Don't try to create your own narrative. There's no beef between Julius and I. Like, he's great at what he do, and wish him the best. And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, man. I think that helps me, man, in a lot of my conversations, because people be asking me what happened. I'm like, I got to explain, like, nothing happened. It's just, they're two separate entities.
Yeah.
It's Southern Coast Academy and then it's SoCal Academy. And, the other part was this, like, because you're such the quiet person. Like,
nobody knew I was the owner.
Yeah, nobody knew that you actually own SCA. They always said it was Julius. I'm like, I would say, oh, yeah, no, I know the owner. And they'd be like, oh, Julius? I'm like, nah, Travis was the owner. Julius was the, you know, the coach and a big part of it for sure.
Yeah. But he was a huge part of
the growth.
The success of SCA to where it's at now.
Yeah,
that's why I know he's not going to have a problem of doing everything on his own.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thanks for clearing that up. Mm-hmm. And this is where we flip the script. Two questions for me.
I got a good question for you.
All right.
What's the next phase of your life?
The next phase of my life. Oh, man.
I already know. You talk to me all the time. I just feel like nobody knows.
Yeah. I think that's there's several pieces of the next phase. One is being really intentional about spending time with my kids. Actually, I've been doing that, but like being even more intentional, just seeing where this world is going is so important for us as parents to be there for our kid. I think we have an understanding of our kid that nobody else does, and the things that we can provide for them to give them spiritual security, emotional security, mental toughness, and those things, they have to be intentional. We can't let these schools and sports programs raise our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so my kids are only 3 and 5, but I'm making a full effort to be very present and intentional in their development. And they're still going to school and all that kind of stuff. I'm not like homeschooling them, but I want them to have the ability to do whatever they want. And I think that comes from the love and the attention that we give them in the right way. And so, and that comes with that is spending more time with my wife, because I think they need to continue to see a good marriage, good relationship. And so all that, just the family part is just being way more intentional about that. With CORE, I am going to be in more of a ministry perspective and mentor. For my team and the people around me. I have an amazing team of people who are all like growth oriented, and I want to be there to support them, to give them the wisdom I do have or the resources I have to help them grow in their own life, and then for the kids to be more of a spiritual guide, spiritual advisor for them. These kids, like I said, these kids are going through a lot. And I want to be an extension of the family and to really give them a safe space to be themselves and to learn and to hear and to grow what they need to become and who they want to become. And so I'm still running course, still all the same. I'm just really shifting my focus to the spirit of the kid, to the spirit of, you know, who they are. I started the basketball firm. It's a consulting firm. We are putting out courses about how to become a recruitable student athlete. And it's focused on personal development, though, from a perspective of who you become is what's gonna determine your outcome in life. And so developing that character and giving them the blueprint, like you said, your script, right? Giving them the blueprint to how to become a recruitable student athlete. And so that course is actually gonna be coming out very soon. And so I hope you guys look forward to it. It is for the kids and for the parents who don't have direction. I want to give you all these people who come on my show are my resources, and I want to provide those resources for you so you can have the blueprint you need to get your kid where they want to go. And through it all, they develop into great humans, great people, and know how to reach success, whether it's with basketball or not. So just be looking out for that, for the it's called the Player Development Blueprint. That'll be coming out soon. And I'm also a manager. I'm managing people. I have one client right now, Karina. She is blowing up, and so I'm helping manage her career. Mm-hmm. She does this. She's a creative director, so she's had opportunities to work
with. So you'll manage me?
Huh? I can manage you as well. I'm stepping into it. All right. Let's
why
do
you
it.
Asked me this long time
Let's
ago,
do it. Man. No, I it well, it happened because, you know.
No, I'm serious too. I don't care about the cameras.
I got you. No, so yeah, just stepping into that a little bit, and I'm staying focused though, building core, and core being everything that we thought it to be 10 years ago. Man, we're going to our 10th year. 10 years of core, crazy, man. So want to build it into everything we thought it would be, but also being able to just give who I am to people and help them along their way. So,
oh, how does it feel to be a father of two kids now?
Amazing. Best feeling in the world. I'm done.
I thought you was getting one more.
All my love.
I hope
all my
you.
All my love is to those kids, man. I don't have any more for any other kids. I will adopt maybe later on in life, but I love my kids. They're amazing. They're two totally different people, and they bring me so much joy, and they teach me so much, man. And learning to trust God with your kids is the hardest thing in the world, because you want to do everything for them, and God has a plan for their life. And it's our job that we are to groom them as a flower, to let them grow into whatever God has called them to grow into. And our job is to groom them and put them in the direction they're supposed to go. But the plan that God has for their life is His, it's not ours. So being able to let that go is rough, but it's awesome. So, man, thank you for being on the show, my brother.
Thanks for having me.
Man, 100%. So you got 24 second shot clock. Let the people know where they can find you. Instagram and any message that you have for him.
Find me on Travis Nichols or SoCo Academy on Instagram. Same thing with Twitter. And don't be afraid to ask me questions. You don't need to create any narrative. I'm a nice guy. I'm actually a nice guy, so don't be afraid to ask me whatever you want to ask me.
Yeah.
And my doors will always be open, even I'm in Florida. I'm still here to help.
Absolutely. I have this video of Travis. I just, when people start from the bottom and build, man, it's so amazing to be. This man's car would not go in reverse.
At all. We had to push it. Right?
We just had to push his car like the Flintstones. And just to where he's come from, man, to where he's at, is so amazing, man. I just want y'all to really tap in. And if you don't know Travis, man, get to know him, man. Reach out to him.
You actually about to
man.
Post that video?
Absolutely. I've saved it for this moment. So people can see that this man had Nothing, man. And now where he's at as a husband, as a father, as a business owner, as a friend, is just a testament to what God can do in somebody's life when he just sacrificed a little and God took him this far.
Yeah.
And so, proud of you, man. Thanks for being on the show, bro.
Thanks for having me.
That's all we have for you today. See you next time. Peace.